Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Healthy High Performance Podcast. Ich bin Dr. Jana Scharfenberg, Ärztin, Ayurveda-Expertin, Mutter von zwei Kindern und Unternehmerin. Und ich habe eine Sache, die ich mit dir teilen möchte. Wie können wir alle ein ambitioniertes und erfolgreiches Leben führen, ohne dabei ins Burnout zu geraten oder unsere Gesundheit komplett zu ruinieren? Denn ich finde, Gesundheit ist der wichtigste Erfolgskatalysator, den wir haben. Und dazu gibt es diesen Podcast. Hier teile ich meine wichtigsten Tipps, Hacks und Einblicke, wie du als High-Performerin ein erfolgreiches Business für dich führen kannst, was dich gesünder, glücklicher und zufriedener macht. Freu dich auf inspirierende Gäste, tolle Tipps aus der Praxis und lass uns hier wirklich das alte Erfolgsbild hinterfragen und neue Wege gehen. Schön, dass du heute hier im Podcast wieder mit dabei bist. Heute habe ich wirklich ein unglaublich tolles Interview für dich und ich habe monatelang darauf hingefiebert, diese großartige Frau hier für dich interviewen zu dürfen. Achtung, das Interview findet auf Englisch statt, denn mein Gast wohnt in den USA. Und mein Gast heute ist Dr. Romy Mushtaq. Dr. Romy ist Fachärztin für Neurologie, Expertin für integrative Medizin und Mindfulness, vielfach gebuchte Keynote-Speakerin und Bestseller-Autorin. Mit fast 20 Jahren Erfahrung arbeitet sie an der Schnittstelle von Wissenschaft, Gesundheit und Leadership und ihre Mission ist es, das Gehirn neu zu verstehen und neu zu denken und vor allem mentale Gesundheit in Unternehmen und in unserem persönlichen Alltag nachhaltig zu fördern. Sie hat das Konzept Busy Brain entwickelt. Das ist dieser Zustand, in dem wir Stress, Schlafprobleme, Angst und vor allem eine abnehmende Konzentrationsfähigkeit verspüren, die unsere mentale Gesundheit nachhaltig beeinflussen. Und daraus hat sie ihr Brain Shift Protokoll entwickelt, was uns viele wissenschaftliche Tools an die Hand gibt und uns aber auch Teams und Konzernen zeigt, wie wir uns hier für unsere mentale Gesundheit nachhaltig einsetzen können. Ich kenne Dr. Romy persönlich. Sie ist mit mir in einer internationalen Mastermind-Gruppe. Ich bin immer wahnsinnig inspiriert von ihr, wie sie ihren Weg geht, wie sie aber auch hier in den USA in wirklich großen, großen Firmen eine echte Veränderung herbeiführt. Und natürlich finde ich es auch immer großartig, wenn jemand Medizin, ganzheitliche Gesundheit, mentales Wellbeing und vor allem Leadership zusammenbringt. Und dementsprechend hatten wir auch ein super spannendes Gespräch. Denn wir gehen rein und schauen uns erstmal Romys persönliche Geschichte an. Wie war es für sie, in dieser Welt des Medizinstudiums und in der sehr, sehr herausfordernden Krankenhaus- und Spitalwelt überhaupt ihren Weg zu finden? Warum kam es dann irgendwann für sie zum persönlichen Kollaps? Und wie hat sie daraus nicht nur für sich selbst diese Veränderungen entwickelt, sondern daraus auch ein nachhaltiges und wissenschaftlich fundiertes Konzept erstellt, das heute Tausende von Menschen in den USA einsetzen? Wir gehen auch rein und sprechen darüber, warum es so wichtig ist für uns persönlich, den Unterschied zwischen gesunder High-Performance und der Hustle-Kultur für uns zu erkennen und natürlich auch diese feine Linie, die es ja manchmal sein kann, zu wahren. Und Romy teilt sehr, sehr viele persönliche Geschichten und Gedanken und was für sie Herausforderungen auf diesem Weg waren. Und selbstverständlich werdet ihr auch einige konkrete Schritte und Praktiken mitnehmen können. Und ich muss einfach sagen, mich hat dieses Gespräch wahnsinnig inspiriert. Mir gibt das immer sehr, sehr viel Energie und Kraft zu sehen, dass es so viele tolle ÄrztInnen da draußen gibt, die hier diese Konzepte erstellen und wirklich eine großartige Veränderung herbeiführen. So, jetzt habe ich viel erzählt. Jetzt wünsche ich dir erstmal ganz viel Freude mit diesem Interview und herzlich willkommen an meine liebe Freundin und Kollegin Dr. Romy. Dr. Romy, it's the biggest honor to finally have you here on my podcast. Very welcome. Thank you for joining me. My sister, Dr. Yana, we have been talking about this for over a year, and I trust that with what is going on in the world today, this was the perfect timing for both of our minds and our hearts to unite for your listeners. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. And I'm actually, as you just said, also in the divine timing. You know, I think it's the right time that we sit down and talk about these very important topics you're covering with your expertise and with all your heart. And before we dive into that, I would love if you just give a tiny intro about yourself to our listeners and yeah, give us a little bit of your personal background so that we can all see who we have here today.
Thank you for everyone that is listening. I am the daughter of South Asian immigrants here to the United States, and I am the firstborn child, and there was one mantra of success when I was born. I was in the newborn nursery, and my dad literally was holding prayer over me. We have one daughter, and you will become a doctor. And that destiny was decreed from my father, from my ancestors, and also for the women on both sides of the family. I was the first one to go to graduate school and to become a doctor. So it was really honoring this legacy, and have always been a curious child, especially in the fields of science, technology, engineering, math, and medicine. And wishes were fulfilled and hopes were realized. I went to medical school and I entered the field of neurology, like yourself, at a time in the United States. However, I'm a little older than my sister, Dr. Yana. And I entered, and at that time, less than 5% of the brain doctors in America were women. And I was doing cutting edge research on the role of women's hormones in the brain and epilepsy and migraine. And loved my job. I was seeing patients, doing research, teaching medical students. However, I had no skills myself of emotional regulation and management and my own health and wellness. And I was just pushing myself, medicating myself that every time I thought I wasn't keeping up with my male colleagues or there was another deadline. And you know, as you know, but your listeners may not know, when you're in a field like neurology, you have a lot of emergencies. I was working 120-hour work weeks. I would try to sleep, but people have emergencies in the middle of the night, and those are my patients. I would have to wake up, often go to the hospital to take care of that. And that sleep deprivation was the perfect storm where I ended up in an undiagnosed mental health crisis, what I now call the busy brain. I kept pushing through it, thinking buying another pair of designer shoes or eating more dark chocolate would help me. And I became very physically ill and ended up in life-saving surgery back in 2010. Mm-hmm. And in that moment in the hospital, I realized nothing I learned in my traditional medical training was going to help me now. And in that search to heal my burnout and my chronic illness, going into integrative medicine, traveling the world to learn about yoga and mindfulness, I realized, oh my gosh, there is a different way to treat brain and mental health patients. And that is today in the international best-selling Busy Brain Cure. And today, as a brain doctor and C-suite executive chief wellness officer, my role is how are we transforming the mental well-being of employees globally in the workplace. So I get hired as a keynote speaker on the intersection of workplace wellness and culture and taking care of our people, as well as I consult. So my title officially is Chief Wellness Officer for Great Wolf Resort, and I take care of the health and wellness and the programs for over 13,000 employees. So that is what I do today.
Wow. Yeah. I love this. And thank you for taking us on this very personal journey with you. Because, you know, when we're looking back, you talk about legacy and destiny. You were the firstborn daughter who became a very successful doctor, right? And the way I got to know you, you're so passionate and lovingly about your work. But when you look back at this, was this also playing into, you know, the stress and the high ambition which got you to a place where you got sick, that this whole path was designed for you, or was it a very conscious path for you stepping into this medical field?
A little bit of both. You know, when you are raised as a young child and a baby and you just know you're going to be a doctor, I knew no different. And that wasn't very common. I lived in a very small town in the Midwest in the state of Illinois in the United States. Young girls at that time were really being trained to be housewives. You were supposed to take home economic classes and learn how to cook pancakes. I never learned how to cook pancakes. I was taking honors chemistry with the boys, you know? So yeah. that is where I was. And it was an honor. It was my joy. But in those days as a child, we did not have the internet. We had books. Books were my best friend. I really, people see me on stage and television and they have a hard time believing I'm an introvert. And growing up, I never felt like I belonged in school. My cultural background, my interest in science, that books became my best friend. So unlike today, I didn't have digital distractions. What happened, however, when I started to practice medicine is the way medicine is structured here in the United States, and you're going to have to tell me in Europe and in Germany, it is an all-consuming job.
Yes.
Medical school residency, being a doctor, you're not really allowed to have a personal life. It's seen as a weakness, especially as a female physician. And it was that and people automatically think, oh, you don't have work-life balance. There's no such thing as work-life balance. It's literally the high stakes pressure to succeed.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to step off what we call the stress success cycle. I would have one success. I'm going to stress myself out and do that. And in medicine in the United States, you work 7 days a week. There is no such thing as taking a holiday like my European colleagues, like all of you do. You're just not allowed as a doctor. Again, it's seen as a weakness. Why are you going on vacation? You work when you're sick. You worked through holidays. And so as you and I have got to know each other in a very powerful global entrepreneurial circle, I am learning from you, Dr. Yana, of taking vacations and taking days off and unplugging. It is, you know, I see all the TikToks from Germany and Europe making fun of American colleagues who eat through lunch and keep working. And it's very true.
I just actually saw a reel today, which was also picking up on that, you know, autumn in the US and in Europe. And autumn in the US, it was like rushing from work because pumpkin season is starting and getting a latte here and and everything like that. And, you know, everything was high paced. And then it was like, and then autumn in Europe. And you saw somebody getting out of bed like, oh, no, I have to go back to work. So, and I was like, yes, it's so interesting, right? How it's so different in the culture. And I think either way, also in Europe and the US, being a doctor and working in this high-paced environment also becomes kind of our identity, right?
Yes.
That's who we are. That's what we do, right? So I'm so curious to hear. 2010, you had this life-threatening health situation, which kind of shifted so much for you. What were the biggest things you had to change for yourself, or which you had to learn in a new way? Because I guess you're not getting out of your own hospital bed and say, ta-da, life changed.
No.
Now I just do the brain shift.
Yeah.
Journey.
No. And I really, you know, we don't, thank you, Dr. Yana. That's such a important question. Too often as entrepreneurs, we're trained to say the three sentence media talking point that draws people in. Nobody talks about the messy middle. And I go into that in my book, The Messy Middle. I go into that in my book on the Busy Brain Cure. You know, here we give you a diagnosis. Are you burned out? You take a brain test and a score and it's for free. We'll put it there. And you walk through the 8-week plan. But when you're reading the book and reading about my journey of how I healed myself and found the science and researched it in other people, that was like about, I would say it was about a 2-year journey healing myself, like healing from the achalasia and the surgery, healing my spirit, healing my body. I was still working then part-time as a neurologist. I'm single. I was divorced. I still had to pay my mortgage and, you know, take care of myself, but I had slowed down. And I think the first hints came when I found yoga. And people are going to roll their eyes listening to this podcast, but please remember this was back in 2010. Lululemon hadn't expanded all over the world. There weren't yoga studios everywhere. I had to travel to Asia to work with yoga teachers. It was not something you easily found in the United States. I was using VHS tapes and the VCR to do yoga or DVDs, right? Yeah. Often from other countries. And so it was in those moments of stillness. And when I would go in Shavasana, the voices would be louder of this was a mission. And could I be honest with you in that messy middle? I thought at some points, oh my God, I'm hearing voices. Am I having a psychiatric breakdown? I didn't know the voice of my own intuition, what I call my internal soul compass. It was the busy brain of judgment that I thought I was going crazy. And for months, every time I would go into Shavasana, I would hear this guidance and this voice loud and clear, like, you are no longer going to practice medicine as a traditional neurologist. There's something different you have to do. And it was literally trusting through meditation and prayer that you just take the next step, and then the next step was revealed to me. So what feels so nice and neat in an eight-step, eight-week program was years in the making for myself. And then I went back and got board certified in integrative medicine. And I started to see other people like you and I, whose careers were their identities. They were burned out. And I had this aha moment, like, why are we waiting until people have a busy brain and they're burned out and they have physical symptoms? I'm going to go into corporations, into companies in the United States and globally, and demand that the C-suite take notice and say, we have to do something different for our employees. And yeah, that journey started back in 2017.
So what I really hear from this is that you were not only, you know, a pioneer when it came to women in medicine, but also a pioneer in bringing new components to our health, also preventive care, right? Not only like in your private practice or the hospital, but actually where it matters and where we have so many people in the workplace.
Yeah.
How did it feel when you look back? I mean, 2010 feels like, I don't know, two centuries ago with AI and everything going on. How did the brain shift land for people when you started communicating this program or this concept? Was it something that was very understandable? Were people waiting for it? Or was it something that was too new for the conventional workplace?
I think that's been the blessing I've had my entire life. I've always been 5-10 years ahead of the trends. Think of this. I was a young girl studying science and math to go become a doctor, right? And then I found the path to yoga and meditation, and I was getting hired by companies starting in about 2014-15 to teach mindfulness and meditation inside companies. And again, that feels so basic now. It's all over Instagram and LinkedIn, but those were some cutting-edge companies. And by sitting and being present and empathetically listening to people, I realized, okay, the mindfulness and meditation is helping, but there's something more going on operationally and strategically and changes in the brain. And that's when the research started again back in about 2018. And so when I look back and say, how does it feel? I feel spirit is moving through me, and I feel emotional that, like, never could I have imagined laying in the hospital that that pain would be helping to impact and transform people's lives and workplace cultures. And that is that profound honor when you are in your dharma and doing the work of service and having to really trust the universe, trust God to show me the next step. And quite honestly, that's where I am today, Dr. Yana. Before you hit record, we were both talking about the changes in the world this past summer, the shifts in our business. And again, I'm in that listening and trusting mode of what is it that people need? Did people respond? Yeah, because I think they felt my heart from stage. They were so shocked hearing my story. Many people who were having symptoms that they were like, why do I have this autoimmune disease? Or why am I not sleeping? Or why does perimenopause feel so bad? I was an aha moment for them. And so they were demanding the answer, so that in 2020, when I started to do the research, we had 17,000 people take the Busy Brain test to give me data of what chronic stress looks like in the world, Then I researched the protocol and we tested it in another 1,000 people in the workplace. So people were hungry for it. And the book couldn't come out fast enough. I know a lot of entrepreneurs are listening to you and I. You are a best-selling author yourself. They're like, I need to write a book. Don't do it as a check mark. The universe will demand it from you. So I couldn't write it fast enough once the research was done.
I love this. So can you explain a little bit what the brain shift actually is and what components are in it?
Yeah. Let's talk first. What is a busy brain? Our brains, structurally and functionally, have been rewired in this modern digital era. And I'm not naive. None of us can avoid using digital, devices and technology for our personal lives, for our professions. However, that has shifted this chronic stress level. That combined with the pandemic and the polycrises in the globe. Every time you open social media, you turn on the news. And that has changed the stations of our brain. And the chronic stress hits the hypothalamus in the brain. I call it the airport traffic control tower of the brain for those that are non-medical like you, because it truly is. Like, you think of Frankfurt Airport in Germany. If there is a snowstorm, does it snow in Frankfurt yet, Dr. Jana?
Yeah, it snow there, yeah.
So if it's snow and ice and they have to shut down the airport, flights are delayed and canceled, not only all over Germany, but all over the EU, into the United States, into Asia. It's a big hub. That's exactly what happens in our brain. Our hypothalamus experiences neuroinflammation, and key symptoms emerge early on in the chronic stress journey, even before physical symptoms. And that is these three things: anxiety, severe anxiety, adult onset ADHD, and the third thing is insomnia, difficulty falling and staying asleep. And because the brain has been rewired, it is affecting hormones, our immune system, and every system in our body. And as we keep pushing, physical symptoms happen. And that's what happened to me. And I had severe achalasia with precancerous lesions and had to have urgent surgery. So that is the path, you know? And when people just say, oh, just eat berries and do this breath work and set boundaries, that isn't going to heal the neuroinflammation in the brain and in the body. And that's why I created the Brain Shift Protocol. What were the scientific steps to heal?
I love this, you know, example you're saying with, oh, just eat berries. I mean, if we would take it back to the airport, this would be like, oh, everything's shut down. Just get a latte and relax.
Yeah.
No.
And relax.
No. Way to work.
No. You people have to go to a wedding. People may be flying to a business meeting. You may be trying to go on holiday. You may trying to be seeing an elderly parent. Like, it doesn't work that way. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just grab a latte. I love that.
Grab a latte. Eat your berries. Yeah.
Yes. Eat your berries. Let's do breath work. And, you know, and that I saw that because we were teaching teams and organizations mindfulness and meditation, and they were still having these symptoms. And I was like, there's something else going on that we have to dig into.
Yeah.
So how do you know if you have chronic stress, busy brain, or you're on burnout? We have a neuropsychology test that we call the busy brain test that's for free on my website and my social media. We'll give it to you in the show notes here. It's in English, but Google will translate it to German. And you take these 20 questions. It takes less than 5 minutes to do. And you get a brain score. And the goal is to have a score under 30. And if it's above 50, we know you have chronic stress. If you are above a 60, we know you're starting to have the physical symptoms like early menopause, digestive issues, rashes on your body, unexplained pain, headaches, all those things. What is the Ayurvedic analogy to that? I remember studying Ayurveda a little bit in my integrative medicine fellowship, but when everything is inflamed, is that here? Agni, remind me again, Dr. Young.
It just comes all together there as well, right? Because when we have a high stress level, we have a lot of vata. This is like the
vata,
very dynamic energy. And you can see the vata, the airy dynamic energy, you know, like a fan, which really makes the fire in the body stronger. And we can see this in inflammation, right? In stress, in rashes. So it all comes together. And it's just so interesting to see how it, whatever language we use, right? It comes back to the same thing, because there is, well, if you have a high Vata dosha and a very high Pitta, for example, you can also not just eat berries, right?
Because
really, really have to go to the root and see where are these imbalances coming from? Which imbalance do you have to focus on first to get everything back in your personal balance? And this is not achieved by meditate once a day, as you said as well, right? It needs a complete reset in your brain, in your body.
And your spirit. And your spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, there was spiritual healing components to my journey, from the love of my elders and my aunties, to prayer, to people around the globe praying for me, to Reiki healing and me working with shamans and all of that. And we can't forget that part.
Yeah. So the busy brain is real for every listener here, right? I hope you really pick that up. Of course, we also translated into German that you have the subtitles here as well. But really, really focus on that. That's a big learning. Stress is not just something that is happening up here in your thoughts, in your mind, but it's really in your whole physical being.
It is.
Right?
It is.
So how do we shift? Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on.
In science, I want to explain it for, because you have such a wonderful audience. The field is known as psychoneuroimmunoendocrinology. Psych is your mood. So if I'm stressed, I'm worried, I'm depressed, I'm anxious. Neuro, it is changing the structure and function of your brain, the inflammation. So you're not able to focus. You're not able to feel gratitude. Then it affects endo, your hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. So all the hormones that govern digestion, your libido, your mood, your sleep, and then immuno, your immune system. And that's why there's breakdown in the gut lining, in hormonal health, not only sexual health, thyroid, all of it. And so that is what's happening. So how do you brain shift and do this? So that was the next part. And we researched what were micro habits, systemic changes that you could do, that I'm not shaming you, Dr. Yana, or myself to say, oh, I better get up and go to the gym three times this week, right? That feels like punishment. And it requires a big thing. It was, how could you change the systems around you with your team at work or with a loved one at home doing the brain shift protocol, that we add a tiny little micro habit that I call a brain shift every week for 8 weeks. So for instance, brain shift one, week one, is self-awareness replaces self-judgment. So rather than saying, oh my God, I really should have taken a holiday this summer, Dr. Yana and the judgment, it's let me be self-aware. Let me get my busy brain score. Let's talk about what symptoms do I have when I have a busy brain and chronically stressed. To this day, I start having difficulty swallowing and digestion. And I know, whoa, back off. You've been here in 2010, Romy. No. Right? Do you have any particular physical symptoms you notice when you're highly stressed?
Oh, for me, it's migraines.
Migraines, yeah. Migraines, very common.
They are really creeping up, you know. I know them so well, and I can really feel them in the body coming up. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is. And so definitely, like, I mean, it is so real. And so that's number one. Then number two is we need to reset from the hypothalamus controls our circadian rhythm. And that's what is disrupted with neuroinflammation. And again, this is more difficult than saying, get up when the sun is shining and go outside and let your son see the eyes. No, when you have a busy brain and burnout, you may not be able to get out of bed, or you're going to go outside and your nervous system is going to feel agitated from the noise and the traffic, you know?
Yeah.
It is more complex. And so we do the 7-day sleep challenge that is based in cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, CBTI. And we give you the steps, and it's a fun challenge. And especially when we're doing it in the workplace, people have a check mark and they get points for doing things like cleaning out underneath your bed, the feng shui, taking out your work desk from your room, clean sheets. We give the supplement recommendations to replace not taking melatonin, but 5-HTP and magnesium glycinate. So natural herbal supplements to reset your circadian rhythm. So these shifts happen week by week, and it is miraculous transformation at the end of the 8 weeks. I mean, most people in under 14 days are already starting to feel focused during the day and more calm and not as frazzled. And by the end of the 8 weeks, they have their daytime energy back and they don't need excessive caffeine. It's simple habits that every week they're like, that's it, Dr. Yana. That's it, Dr. Romy. I mean, are you sure I don't need to do more?
Yeah. And it is probably more around it, right? Because you have, first of all, you have the support. You have somebody who's guiding you. Because we all know when we are in stress, we are so overwhelmed. I see that with my patients as well. When I'm saying, I would recommend this or that, they just stare at me sometimes like, I cannot even decide. Please just tell me what to do, right?
Yes.
When you, Romy, when you are such a firm, strong leader with such a big heart, which can really also create the safety for these people, for these wonderful clients, and you can really co-regulate them, right?
Yeah.
Yes, this is also something that is so helpful, that they are not just sitting somewhere finding this information on the internet, but they know it comes from a real expert.
It does.
What you talk about.
And to research, and that it's been researched.
Absolutely.
So, for doctors that are listening that are like, what is this woo-woo stuff? Because we are going to touch the medical community in United States, Canada, and all over Europe with your podcast, Dr. Yana. And please know that there are over 400 peer-reviewed medical articles in the reference section of my book.
Wow.
So one, I did the research, and then I said, here's all the research. Let's put these steps together. Then we tested it in over 1,000 people over 18 months. Then we put the protocol to publish in a book. So these steps have to happen in a certain order. And that's how that works. And so,
Do you see any differences when it comes to the busy brain and also to the brain shift, especially in women in the work?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. So men and women have different symptoms. And so week seven of brain shift is taking your lap slips to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important because when we're burned out and your entire cycle is disrupted, we need to know important things like, did your vitamin D3 levels plummet? Are your hormones off? So specifically for women, we find a couple of things that they're at a younger age in the life cycle, they may find that they now have fertility issues, irregular menstrual cycles, polycystic ovarian disease. And the doctor is just fixing that issue when they're not addressing the chronic stress in the brain and its impact on the thyroid and adrenal gland first.
Mm-hmm.
So with women, especially, and you read my story in the book, I was so burned out and I had undiagnosed Hashimoto's thyroiditis or thyroid disease. And one in eight women in the United States have it. So I assume the literature is similar in Germany. I couldn't find the data, and maybe you can look it up.
Must be around that. Yeah.
And if you have melanin in your skin like I do, it's one in four women, a higher likelihood. And we miss that thyroid. And so then it'll show up as fertility issues, and then it'll show up as early perimenopause. So you're having hot flashes and you're only 38, 42. Fat is depositing around your belly no matter what you eat or how much you work out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is what we see the differences. But most women, like I was, push through it and they think, oh, this brain fog, I'm just stressed. I can't focus. Maybe it's what they say on TikTok, I have ADHD. Let me go get medicine for ADHD. No. We need you to check your hormones and everything, because a busy brain can lead to disturbance in hormones for women.
That's so interesting. And I think it's also so relieving for many women to hear that, right? Because this is what we experience every day, that women have these symptoms, but, you know, the labs are fine, or stress, or as you said, work out more, eat more protein, and all these things are super important, but we have to go to the root. So I'm so, so grateful that you really, really have this in your protocol as well, that it really support women here.
It is. And by the way, the labs can be done by your doctor and are covered by your national healthcare system in Germany. This is something I'm very proud of in the book. When you go to an integrative functional medicine anywhere in Europe, in Germany, you often have to pay cash for these expensive labs. I simplified the labs so that insurance companies in the United States and the national healthcare systems in Germany cover all of these labs.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. So we talk about brain shift. We talk about, you know, how we have circumstances that are very demanding. But when I come from 2010 and look what's happening nowadays, my very personal impression is there is so much going on. The shifts in the outer world are so fast. We have AI, economic uncertainty. We have so much constant digital noise. So what would you say? Does a busy brain also is a busy brain also different in times like this? And what do we need in these times more of? Or do you kind of, I don't know, updated the brain shift? Or is it exactly the same, but just different things that cause stress?
So remember, this protocol was researched and born in the time of the global pandemic when most people were isolating. It was how I did so much research because companies were fully remote. So I could get 1,000 employees in a company online and do the test, right? So that was, and that start of the pandemic is something globally known and in organizational psychology is that we're in polycrisis. Every area feels like it's in crisis outside in the world and maybe even your personal life.
Yes.
So it means we are more sensitive to a busy brain. And so even more so now, we have to take the steps to brain shift and protect our nervous system. One of the key ways that we've added to the protocol is I have a very strict rule. And when I give these lectures and peak performance at companies around the world is we talk about the first 30 minutes of your day and how you're dosing your brain, your dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Because what do most people do? They pick up their phone and they look at their schedule. They look at their text messages. They look at social media. They look at their email. And you're already setting your brain up for failure. You're raising your stress hormone levels. And so instead, and gosh, this is where I need your wisdom. You know, there is the Vata Pitta, the fire types like me that need something calming in the morning. Yeah. I do sound healing. I pray, meditate, and hydrate slowly. Yeah. Then tell me what the Kaphas would do. They wake up in the morning and what's activating for them 30 minutes in the morning? What would you suggest?
Yeah.
That or it's dopamine, oxytocin, what would that be for the Kaphas?
So for the Kapha types, probably, you know, getting up and moving a little bit, getting the energy flowing, right? For us Peters who are like pumped for the day already, just thinking about the day. Yeah. As you said, sound meditations, something really soothing. Mm-hmm. And for our Vata types who, you know, could wake up with anxiety or just very nervous, it must be also something very grounding and maybe even going out into nature. Grounding are the key components. And I think, you know, from my perspective, it's also something that is key, what I do with my patients, to really look into that. Because sometimes when we have these routines, right, we really have to look into what's serving us, what is really serving us as a person, and not what is, you know, the internet saying what a miracle morning should look like.
Oh, God. Yeah. No. Yeah. I that term just grates on my last nerve. Touch the grass and have a miracle morning. No. Because I, like you, serve high-performing, high-functioning, successful individuals. They wake up and their morning is calendared. There may be children that need to get to school. They're caring for elderly loved ones. You have a high-performing job. But I ask, take that 30 minutes, and that's key. And what are you doing for your sight, your sense of hearing, smell, aroma, touch, you know? And so that's key. It give yourself that 30 minutes in the morning. The first instinct people with a busy brain have is, are you out of your mind? I don't have 30 minutes in the morning. I barely have 3. I then gently say to people, could you start with 5 minutes? If you just have to wake up 5 minutes earlier, and magically it becomes 30 minutes. And so my personal routine being pure pitta is I hydrate, pray, and meditate. This is before I even wash my face and brush my teeth, because the minute I wash my face and brush my teeth and get into the shower, Dr. Yana, I'm already thinking, what am I going to wear today? What's on my work calendar? Am I traveling today? Like, I just start going. So I just like do those rituals first.
I do the same. I'm a pitta person as well. I roll off bed, stay in my pajamas, hydrate, and then do yoga or a little workout, you know, nothing too fiery or pushy. But it has to be still in my pajamas, because otherwise I'm like, as you said, what do I wear? Where's the schedule? What are my kids doing? But
yes,
roll out of bed on the yoga mat. It's
happening. I love that. Yeah. It is. And listen, if you get in the yoga mat and all you do is lay down in Shavasana or take a child's pose, you're winning. That's it. Like literally, you're stretching all the major muscles of your body doing Shavasana. And just extending or in child's pose, that it is integrating your mind and your body and yoking it into one. Like, if you don't feel like doing 8 sun salutations, no judgment. Go ahead. Like, literally.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, and that, so that's one of the key. Then it gets to what is the thing that I'm researching next? And there is something really fascinating in organizational psychology that's come out this year globally. Gallup survey asked employees, like over 7,000 employees, what is the one thing you need for your leader? And Dr. Yano, most leaders think, oh, in this economic uncertainty, a pay raise, gratitude. It was none of those. People wanted a sense of hope.
And
a sense of hope and a sense of trust. And so when you ask me what's next, I am currently working and researching, and I'm asking you, my sister, because you've been holding the space, watching the busy brain research happen all these years. That is the next thing I'm working on, is how do we teach individuals and teams that have lost all hope to find hope again? What is that intersection of science and spirituality?
Oh my God, I love this. I get shivers when you talk about this. And I couldn't imagine a better person for doing this, because, you know, we've seen each other a few times in real life as well. And there, this is just what I really admire about you, right? You can talk about studies and about hormones and very scientific. And then we can switch to prayers and what our sisters did. And I just love this, because we need more of this, people blending that together in a very natural way. You know, that I would say high ambitious people can really grasp it, because it hits different. Also for me, honestly, it hits different when I have somebody like you sitting in front of me talking about hope than if I would go, I don't know, to, you know, a cave somewhere where somebody talks about hope who has no idea how my fast-paced life actually
Right? It is. It is. Yeah. And that's what people say. Well, what if I go to church, or what if I go to the temple or the synagogue? And I'm like, that's great. But that's faith. That's faith in believing in a power greater than you. Mm-hmm. Optimism is something we train, is our sense of positivity or a positive outcome. Hope is actually something that can be taught. This belief that I can wake up tomorrow and it be a better day, and that I have the agency and the choice. I can make a choice to scroll TikTok for the first hour when I wake up in the morning, or we could roll out like we both do in our pajamas and hydrate and stretch and sound healing and hug your kids or hug your dog, whatever that may be. And that is what hope can teach us. And that's what I'm working on.
We will watch you very closely, Dr. Romy, with all these amazing ideas. I love this. And I want to just throw in one last question, because I'm always curious, you know, when we look at people and also maybe at ourselves. I have the feeling sometimes it can be a very fine line between I'm hustling and I'm ambitious and in a healthy high performance, right? It's subtle shifts between, oh, I do my workout because I enjoy it, or I have to do it to push myself. So how do you experience that fine line for yourself? And what is your take on how can we be more conscious and aware when we are shifting more into the hustle than being in a good, ambitious, healthy, high performance?
Okay. I'm going to break it down in a to-do list matter, right?
Perfect.
We talked about the first 30 minutes of your day, because what I say is when you take that first 30 minutes of the day, you're less likely to lose that feeling of control. Like, I can't control what's going on in my day at all. And you become more reactive, and we don't recognize it until we've fallen off the cliff. So the first thing I gave you already is that first 30 minutes. Then it's that self-awareness. Everybody has a certain phrase they use, a certain facial expression when you've gone into a hustle mode, and you have a certain behavioral pattern. So I'm going to tell you mine. You'll see, well, I get Botox now, but I'll furrow my brows and do this when I'm in hustle mode. And I will obsessively check my emails and Slack chat because I feel the need, dopamine, to control something. At least I can control the emails and see what's happening. And then I know to pause, and I turn on the sound healing music. So that has been one of my secrets, is using sound healing. It is in week four of the brain shift number four in the book. Is I have it on, obviously we're recording a podcast, so I didn't want the music on in the background, but I have it on asleep all night. I have focus during the day, even like when I'm at the office for Great Wolf Resorts. And if I'm sitting at my desk working, I have headphones on with my sound healing music on or I take breaks. The last step I'm going to tell people is literally set an alarm on your phone at 11:11 in the morning and 2:22 p.m. in the afternoon. I don't care what's happening then. 11:11 and 2:22 p.m. No one's going to forget that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you literally stop and I ask myself, do I feel in control right now? It's that one question. If I feel like I'm in control, it means I'm in flow. If I feel like I've lost control because I watched the news, my email, I can't get this to-do list done, then I know I've switched to hustle mode.
Okay. Love this. Yeah.
11:11, 2:22 check-ins. Yes.
Love the check-ins. And I think it's a good learning for all of us, right? To really see, when do I have these patterns? Because my pattern, I also happily share this. My pattern is that I get in action mode and take on more projects. You know,
yes.
I'm already hustling, but I will get the cake for the daycare. I will do this school project for the kids. Bam, bam, bam. Right? I'm like, my plate is already full, but it's this controlling thing
it
and
is.
Pushing through.
Yeah. You know, and thank you for all the entrepreneurs that's listening. You're like, well, this doesn't resonate, Dr. Romy. You deal with employed people, but a busy brain and an entrepreneur, I call it the shiny entrepreneurial project syndrome instead of shiny object syndrome. And it means you go to a conference or you're sitting with peers or like, oh, Dr. Yana has a podcast. I need to have a podcast. Dr. Rumi's talking about her global best-selling book. I need a book. And you start taking on other projects instead of being in control and saying, what was my one quarterly objective this month, you know, or this year as an entrepreneur? What is my one focus for marketing? Rather than let me add a newsletter, let me add a podcast, let me do keynote speaking. Like that is a sign as an entrepreneur that you have a busy brain. Because now when I'm in control, I can be in a room of great colleagues and entrepreneurs like yourself, Dr. Yana, and celebrate your podcast and not fall into the trap going, oh, I need a podcast.
Yeah, perfect. Mm-hmm. Dr. Romy, thank you so much for this great interview. I learned so much from you. As I said before I hit recording, my podcasts are always for me to learn a lot and then I share it with my listeners. So thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. It was an absolute pleasure and honor to have you and learn from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me and thank you to all your listeners. I don't take their time for granted. And if you listened all the way to the end, it was meant to be. I want you to hear this one last prayer and intention from me. Your brain is not broken. Your mind is not a mess. And hope did not depart your soul. And so it is.
Thank you so much.
Vielen herzlichen Dank, dass du das Interview hier bis zum Ende gehört hast. Ich hoffe, du hast genauso wie ich viele spannende Komponenten daraus mitgenommen. Ich kann dir wirklich von Herzen auch empfehlen, das Buch von Dr. Romy zu bestellen und zu lesen. Es ist unglaublich spannend. Es sind so viele fundierte Komponenten drin, die wir sehr, sehr gut für uns umsetzen können. Und vor allem versteht man dadurch natürlich sein Gehirn nochmal viel besser. Du findest die Links zu Dr. Romy und ihrer Arbeit hier in den Shownotes. Dort kannst du dich selbstverständlich auch einmal umschauen. Sie hat auch wahnsinnig spannende, kostenlose Ressourcen, die du dir hier einmal anschauen kannst. Und ja, ihr Lieben, ich werde in Zukunft mit Sicherheit öfter mal auch ein englisches Interview einfließen lassen, denn wenn du das bisher noch nicht mitbekommen hast, bin ich natürlich auch viel im internationalen Raum, nicht nur selber als Speakerin gebucht oder auch tätig als Coach und Mentorin, sondern bin hier natürlich auch sehr, sehr gut vernetzt und mein Ansinnen ist es immer, dir hier tolle ExpertInnen sozusagen vorstellen zu können, die mich selber sehr inspirieren oder die mein Leben zum Positiven verändert haben. Und das sind nun mal auch Leute, die außerhalb des deutschsprachigen Raumes wohnen. Und nein, es wird nicht nur auf Englisch sein, aber zwischendurch immer mal wieder einfließen. Und da freue ich mich drauf, denn meine innere Liste an Gästen, die ich hier gerne noch haben möchte, ist sehr, sehr lang. Und ich freue mich, dass Dr. Romy hier den Auftakt gemacht hat. Wir hören uns ganz bald im Podcast wieder. Bis dahin, lass es dir gut gehen, achte gut auf dich, create fast, live slow. Bis ganz bald. Und das war auch schon die aktuelle Episode des Healthy High Performance Podcast. Ich hoffe, du hast ganz viele wertvolle Impulse für dich mitnehmen können. Und ich danke dir von Herzen, dass du hier heute mit dabei warst. eine Bitte an dich. Wenn du jemanden in deinem Umfeld hast, bei dem du das Gefühl hast, diese Person könnte auch von diesen Inhalten profitieren, dann teile bitte diesen Podcast mit dieser Person. Ich würde mich natürlich wahnsinnig freuen, wenn du eine positive Bewertung auf Apple Podcasts oder Spotify hinterlässt, denn so wird der Podcast einfach von noch mehr Menschen gefunden. Wenn du Themenwünsche hast, melde dich jederzeit bei meinem Team und mir und ich freue mich, dich in der nächsten Folge hier wieder begrüßen zu dürfen.